If I was you, I'd be asking for a refund. Everything they do for DOC, they need to defund. Lazy guards, double cells, everything in here is hell. You ever been to the county jail, praying that you get some mail? Then you hit receiving all the stories, can't believe them. I thank God that I'm alive, I thank God that I'm still breathing. After COVID, wearing masks, everyone's sad. How did a virus know a budget? It really makes me laugh. We had good times, bad times, but still it made us strong. It was hard to be accountable, I had to right my wrongs. But now I'm long and forgotten, they forgot about me.
Welcome to another compelling episode of the Defund DOC podcast, your number one premium community to hear true prison stories, conniving prison politics, and radical prison reform solutions that will end recidivist crime in America once and for all. Please welcome our hosts, Linda Thompson and Daniel J. Sims, as they delve into another hard-hitting and thought-provoking episode.
Welcome to the Defund DOC podcast. I'm Linda, and with me is my co-host, Daniel J. Sims.
Welcome, community. Thank you all for tuning in. Today, we got an amazing episode with a fellow veteran of the corrupt crime war. Without further ado, I'd love for both of them, amazing humans that are fighting for our people and amazing life coach. So go ahead and introduce yourselves.
This is Queen of the one half of God Bless the Real, and we have Life Coach CW. I am Queen. I have Life Coach CW. We have been friends since childhood, high school sweethearts, and my experience with the DOC is my brother has been in and out of Illinois DOC really all of my life. He is currently incarcerated, sentenced 40 years. That's the driving force to my support, along with being partners with Life Coach CW and supporting him and just pushing the machine forward to shed light on the needs and just be an advocate for those that that have been in this experience of being incarcerated.
Definitely. And I am Life Coach CW. I am a peer support specialist. I am a life coach. I am a civil rights activist. I fight for the six highest principles known to man, which is love, truth, peace, freedom, justice, and equality. I believe that if man abide by those six principles, that would keep man on the path of respect, that would keep us on the path of redemption, that would keep us on the path of God. I also am a strong believer of God. I'm backed by God. I stand by God. And no matter what I do in life, I'm always going to give all praise to God first and foremost. Before no matter what journey I'm on, whether it's negative or positive, I'm still giving it all glory be to the Most High.
Absolutely. I just wanted to commend Queen, your brother, in and out like that. How does it feel for you personally to see that DOC not preparing your brother for successful reentry?
It is disheartening. Had there been programs while he was incarcerated, even when he was a younger man, early teens, perhaps he would have found a different role. Even after being released from incarceration, if there were programs that could have helped him stay on the right track or just get on the right track to refocus his focus on something other than criminal behavior, perhaps that would have helped detour him or keep him from revisiting that way of life. I hear often that they have snatched programs. There is nothing to do, not just from him, but from the men, from the feds that call here. And you can hear it, how it's just a discouragement. you know, how they just feel discouraged and just cast aside. You know, well, I can hear it when I hear them talking, that it's just a cast aside, a feeling of just being cast aside.
It you know what the sad thing is that most of the Americans incarcerated across the country in the feds, as you say, and in the state, most of them are wanting that education, and they're just being denied it. And the fact is that I've never met nobody in prison that says they want to come back to prison. Nobody wants to come back to prison. Everybody wants to get out with their families and reunite and be a successful person. But yet their DOC ain't preparing them. They're not giving them the education. I can't even imagine, somebody with a bachelor's degree in computer science or whatnot going back to drug use or going back to gang culture or whatnot. You know, they're turning their lives forward, you know, and for the system to deprive us of basically, I feel like a human right, you know. It's definitely impactful. I'm a Miss Life Coach, C-Dub. So you were incarcerated. Can you expand on that, what your incarceration, how long you were in there for and whatnot?
Well, my experience with the DOC, my experience with the DOC was very brief. I experienced the DOC back in 1993, 1994 as a teenager, going into a young adult who I was selling crack basically in the urban communities on the west side of Chicago, selling crack and, you know, getting money fast or whatever. But at the same time, you know, while I was selling that crack in urban communities, I wasn't paying attention to the laws that was being passed. As I was selling crack back then, the 1994 crime bill that was passed by then Senator, that was wrote by then Senator Biden, Senator Biden, that was passed into law by then President Bill Clinton. So when that bill was passed in law, that bill raised the mandatory minimums. That bill raised the made the crack laws more harsher. Mm-hmm. That brought about more enhancements, 851s, restrike laws, things of that nature. So I wound up going to do boot camp. I did 4 months in boot camp. I returned back to society. Of two dope cases I had caught back to back within like a 30-day span. I had caught like two minor dope cases, like probably like 5 grams, like 3 grams, whatever. So I was just selling a little crack on the block. But then after that point, after I got out during the boot camp, I went to the estate time in boot camp. And then when I got out, which was only 4 months, after I got out 4 months boot camp, I wind up, you know, going back, seeking to do the right thing, getting me a job, things of that nature. And I wind up hustling. I wind up starting back hustling again. And then I get shot. I wind up being shot 9 times in 96. As I started running, mm-hmm. I wind up starting back hustling. After I got out of the boot camp, I still was working my two little jobs. I was working at Sam's Club and Target if I was hustling. I was hustling that, working these jobs at the same time because, you know, I was trying to get ahead. You know, I was about staying looking good and staying fly and all that type of stuff. I had cash money motto, you know, all that type of stuff. Drink till you throw up, you know, about the Master P era, all that type of stuff. So that's what I was into. Jay-Z, Chris style, popping, you know, I got into that type of lifestyle. Then, you know, once those lifestyles passed me, then the feds came and knocked on my door, basically saying, you know, I was basically doing too much in the community or selling drugs, and they wound up indicting me, and I wound up taking the feds to trial, saying they didn't have anything on me but hearsay evidence. But, you know, basically with the feds, that's all they need is hearsay evidence. They ain't really need too much. All they need is a couple of informants, a couple of people that's saying they bought some stuff from you, and they could tie you into a conspiracy, or they could tie you into a couple of distribution charges. And then once they bring you in, once they snatch you in, then they could hit you with the relevant conduct, which is all relevant conduct, which is all the dope that they didn't catch you with, that informants or people said they seen you with. So if somebody seen you with a kilo, somebody walked in and said, an informant said, yeah, I came to this house, seen with a couple of kilos, they automatically put that on your drug amount, which is what enhanced your sentence along with the career criminal. They turn you to a career criminal if you got two or more prior dope cases. So I had two more prior dope cases from when I told you I caught those dope cases back in the day when I went to boot camp for, and they passed that harsh 1994 crime deal. So that cost me, when the feds came and got a part of me, even though I only did 4 months in the state boot camp, it still cost me and then in the long run, if they got two bites at the apple, they did me in the state, the 4 months boot camp, or like they do other men, they give you that 4 years. If you don't take the 4 months of boot camp, they give you the 4 years, so you get that strike on you. They run those two or three dope cases concurrently, so they run it all together. Then you go to your state time, you get out of state, you get back out here hustling, whatever. Ain't no jobs in the communities. Men out here trying to, you know, feed themselves, take care of the kids, you know, and then they had all the housing situation, you know, whatever. You know, I don't want to take it on that road. But my point of the story is that they get two bites of the apple, they hit you in the state, or they hit you with the boot camp, and then the feds come back and get you, and then they hit you with the career criminal, enhance you for your prior little dope cases, then they give you anywhere from 20 years to a life sentence in federal prison for only 5 grams of crack cocaine. So that was the game that they was playing on us. They played it on me, and I wound up taking the feds trial, and I wound up getting 30 years. So.
I genuinely feel, in regards to your cases, and it's happening across the country, it's just an atrocity. When you don't kill somebody, the government and the courts and whatnot, they should not morally and ethically have the ability to murder you with a long prison sentence. You know what I mean? It, to me, it's the same as just outright just blowing your head off. I mean, it's just crazy. And in regards to Joe Biden, I just really have a problem with the fact that he passed Armed Career Criminal Act in the feds, and yet when his son gets caught with a gun, he wants to pardon him. So, hold on. Are you saying that the elites, it's not good for the elites, those that are passing these laws, for their children, but yet for us, you know, on the poor class, the bottom class, is good enough to incarcerate us for 30-some years? And the same with the drug laws. I don't know if you noticed, but Nixon, when he was the one that first started really pushing the drug war, and they actually got transcripts of him speaking to somebody in his cabinet, and they said that they wanted to incarcerate as many hippies and black people as possible. And that's what kicked off the crime war. That's why I say it's evil and corrupt. You know what I mean? It's not a fair system, you know?
I would agree. You did say a lot there. You have said a lot fast. And I know you said a lot fast because, you know, I know where you at. So I know we talk fast. We got to get it out fast. And, hey, you got to catch on fast. Or, you know, I don't need you on my team, basically. This is what you, basically how it goes. So I do feel you. So unpack what you're saying. Yes, I am aware of Nixon. I do encourage you, if you haven't read The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, I do encourage you to read that book to give you a lot of insight on the war on drugs and just the Supreme Court, how they pass their laws and how they are strategic on passing these laws and policies and siding with different laws and policies, things of that nature. So, although it is an unfair system, and we know that, and that has been the sentiment since the late 80s, but yet men still haven't grasped that it's an unfair system, and that, hey, one bad decision costs you a lifetime of problems, and you're only one bad decision away from sending your buddy in anybody federal prison or any state prison, not anybody there. I don't care who you are. You're only one bad decision away, and you'll be there in an instant, and your life will change in an instant. But I also want to say that Malcolm X sat in state prison for 10 years, and Malcolm X, back then, they didn't even have no type of programs back then, from what I understand from my research, and Malcolm X said that he wanted to educate himself, and Malcolm X said he realized he was sitting in prison, and he realized that the biggest education department resided in prison. And that education department was the education department, the library. And anytime you have a library with books in it, can't no one ever say that they're not going to teach me. They're not teaching me nothing. Because what man should come to understand is that you're going to stagnate yourself and put on another man saying that he's not teaching you nothing, or you're going to be a man and figure it out and learn how to and begin to teach yourself. Or you're going to become stagnated. As the Bible says, and as the book say, if you go read it yourself, God gave when the sons of man came before him, he gave one talent, he gave one two talents, he gave the other three talents. He gave all man talent. And so when the sons of man came back to God, he said, hey, what you do with your three talents, son? He said, I took the three talents, and I turned the three talents into 12 talents. And then he went to the other son and say, what did you with your talent, son, with the two talents. He said, I took the two talents and turned them into 10 talents. He said, man, you did a good deed. He went to the one son with the one talent. He said, what you do with your one talent, son? He said, I didn't do nothing with it. I didn't know what to do with my talent, you know. And what you think God did with the talent then? He took the talent back from the man. Because the parable meaning that everybody got talent. Everybody should be able to tap into their own talent. I'm not going to tell, I don't know what your talent is because God gave you your talent. I don't know what it is. But man can never say that, hey, they're not teaching us nothing. If you got a library, you better take your butt over there and start reading some books. If you got a library, you better go into that and look whatever you're trying to study. It's in the library. It's in the book. Whether man, now, as far as man say, I need a teacher or somebody to sit down and guide me through, that's a horse of a different color. But you can't sit down and teach yourself, and you will. And as we sit there, and what I have come to realize in jail 20 years, hey, as long as you, when you begin to sit down and teach yourself and educate yourself, it's going to be just like anything else. Like the dope game, just like the street game, he's going to send you in the street game, he send you another crook to deal with, or he send you some other guys to say to your friends to hold you down. He send you people to help you out, to guide you through your lower self. And just like when you're trying to get on your higher self, you go in that library, educating yourself, he's going to send you older people, he's going to send you people that's going to help you get the education you're seeking to get, because you have began to what? Educate yourself. You have began to do for yourself. And when you begin to do for yourself, then people's going to start helping you anyway, naturally, whether it's a correction officer, whether it's a woman on the streets, no matter who it is, God is going to send you somebody to begin to help you, because why? You have took initiative to help yourself.
Wow. Well put. Yeah, well put. I like that, because anybody that like has followed our journey and the podcast and whatnot understand that I didn't get my confidence and my ability to speak to the injustices that's happening across the country because I just sat here and played cards all day. I did. I got it because I at first got on the front line fighting for civil rights as a jailhouse lawyer for years. And you're right. I pushed myself. I had a passion to learn, to educate myself. And I still to this day don't have a degree because they don't give us degrees. But I also think there's another side to that. So back when I was first came to prison, back when I was 18, 19 years old, I didn't want to do nothing, life coach and queen. I didn't want to do nothing. I just wanted to go to the big yard for the adventure of prison. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to go work out. I wanted to go to, you know, hang out with everybody and do this or that, play basketball or whatnot. I didn't want to go educate myself, but yet they had a policy where they said that everyone that comes to prison has to go and get their GED, which is basic. You know what I mean? That's like basically a high school diploma or whatnot. So they compelled me, they forced me to go get this GED, which I really didn't want to go get. I wanted just to do my thing and just, you know, like I said, the adventure of prison. And yeah, I went and did this, and I actually graduated and got my GED, and I swear to you, it opened up the whole world to me. It opened my eyes to the feeling of accomplishment that I hadn't felt, because I grew up in foster care and group homes and gang culture and homelessness and drug culture, and opened up to my ability to accomplish something. And furthermore, it opened up my interest for educating myself. So I think that I agree with you, but I disagree a little bit that I think that there should be a mechanism where, like, you come to prison, you should get a degree. You should get educated. You know, like, you're here, you're set apart for a minute.
But that goes against the whole system, then. Against the whole system, because now you're telling me that I'm sitting here paying all my taxes on the street. I got to pay to send my child to college to become a lawyer, and here you is committed a crime and went to your butt to jail and became a lawyer. You're sitting around, you know, eating hoes and on the computer, you know, ain't got no time but to study and read books and do all what you got to do. Hey, my daughter out here, my son out here, got to go to school, got to work in between, got to worry about the ills of life, and still trying to get they trying to take their bar. So that's how America sees it. So now we're not gonna send you to prison and maybe become a freaking doctor and something, or that you become a scholar and something. They look at it as American government doing. Hey man, we inside trade. We ain't gonna give you the game on the inside trade. Basically, that'd be the game on the inside trade. Hey, go ahead to prison, sit there for about 5 years. Hey, you're gonna get your degree and then come on back home basically for free to some degree.
So, no, that ain't finna happen. You're about to be getting no doggone bachelor's degree sitting off in no federal prison, no state prison. I mean, men used to do that. In the old school, you used to catch the old school men. You used to hear men get their doctor's degree and all, and get they become lawyers and all that type of stuff while in the joint. But what happened, the system, just like any system, like any AI, it wasn't even AI then, but any system that have an AI type of sense to it is going to know what to begin to filter out. Okay, that's good for us. That wasn't good for us. That didn't work for us. This worked for us. So as the generations pass, they begin to dumb us down more, snatch out the more of the programs, give you more of the folly, more basketball, mm-hmm. more handball, more tennis, more TV, more weights and all that old type of stuff, and then let you more cable and more sports, and they get you into that mode, and then once you get into that mode, it's hard to snatch back out that mode, because now men sitting in prison living their youth again, because they then detox themselves from all the drugs and things of that nature, and then they bounce back to their proper sane self and back to their godly self, and then they realize, man, I'm strong, I can do this, I can do that. But hell, some of us already sitting on life sentence. It's gonna be hard to bounce back. Some of us gotta live through another person and hope to get in the game, and they beat the streets for you and keep things going. Which hence is what brings back to you. I was telling the queen here yesterday, I'm like, you know what I respect about this person, even though I never met him or her. What I respect about them is that even in a struggle, they find the path to life. They find the way out. They're trying to be productive. They're still trying to give back. They're still trying to make something happen in the midst of the hardship. And you got to respect that, because a lot of men are sitting in prison. They're not educating themselves. They're not trying to reach back from prison. If they're reaching back, they're trying to prey on somebody for a couple of dollars most time, or prey on someone to come visit them about some frivolous bull crap. But you know, but to be trying to reach out and give out a message, you know, and to make it happen, that's a feat within itself.
Yeah, and it's a part of your transformation.
Absolutely.
No, I like the way you put it, man. You know, the fact is that you're right. The government don't want that. They don't want us to be educated and as you say, be in here 5 years and get out with a bachelor's degree. They don't want that. But at the same time, are we a system that is supposed to be fair and equitable? Because all we're asking for, those that are incarcerated, is like, get your foot off our neck. Give us the same right that any American has across this whole country to get a student loan. You know what I mean? I don't think that's much of an ask, you know, for a lot of Americans behind bars. But I get it. You're right that what you were saying is the same message that I remember almost verbatim what they were saying on the news when they took away the Pell Grants for those that were incarcerated back in the, I think it was in the 90s or whatnot, but they have people on the news saying, why should these people that get incarcerated have a college degree when I'm out here having to struggle and get a college degree? You know, and my family can't get college degrees. So I get it, but I just don't feel like if we're going to be a nation that is about fairness and equity and you know, equality, I think that it starts with knowledge. Our people die for lack of knowledge.
I hate to get into the divert this over to race to some extent, but I'm a black man here in America. So when it comes to, I kind of lost my point. When it comes to these laws and policies, and when it comes to educating a black man, you know, to some degree, you can't on one hand say, on some degree, you can't write history and say, well, I enslaved your people, or, you know, we was lynching black people back in the day, or, you know, we owe y'all 40 acres in the mule, but we never gave y'all land nor y'all mule, or, you know, we bombed y'all churches and we bombed Black Wall Streets and we bombed all these black meccas of urban Americas where black people was vibrant and economically independent, and you can't tell me you went and flooded my communities with guns and drugs and then snatched all the jobs out of them and just left us with guns and drugs and locked up and then came and locked up their moms and dads and some of their grandparents and then you turn around. And say, well, you know, they're not educating us. They're not gonna educate us. Well, you know, I really don't want nobody who treated me wrong to educate me, because if you never taught me right, you ain't gonna treat me. If you never treated me right, you ain't gonna teach me right. So I don't understand that theory for a black man, because a black man ain't never been treated right by the system or by the powers that be. So if you ain't never treated me and my people right when you came over here, we was dealing with us. I don't expect you to freaking teach me anything right. I don't expect for you to even want me to be educated on your level. So I think you're gonna always try to keep me at bay to some extent. You're gonna always give me just enough knowledge. And I piggyback that up, not off race. Like I said, I don't want to get into race because it's not just black people. It's just poor people and white and black people who the powers that be have sought to divide us to some extent and make some white people believe they're more superior than black people, or they gave them a little bit more juice over them, like the prison system gave white officers these titles and jobs, titles and positions as officers all these little different titles. They give wardens and things of that nature. They give them all these different types of lieutenant positions and all that type of stuff. And they give them, then they lock up a bunch of black people and put them in these out in these prisons. And then mostly people that's controlling these black people, black men, are white men, or either young white men or middle-aged white men who have some type of authority over them. Mm-hmm. So they always put them in an authoritative position over black people if it's majority black people is getting locked up, or a lot of them is getting locked up. So, and then if you already done wrong to my people back in the day, you know, I don't even want your education. I don't want you coming here talking about you're going to teach me nothing, because when you teach it to me, you're still going to limit me. You're still not going to allow me to be as great as I'm supposed to be, or you're still not going to allow me to be one of the greats in the field. You know, I'm still going to be subjected to you to some degree. So that's why I say the only way you're going to really be free is you want to go in there and study and educate yourself, because at that point, it's not being controlled on your education. You are being controlled, and you are then educating yourself outside the box, and then going to the institution. You know a little bit more than the average, because why? You study outside the box. You just study inside the box of how they saying it's supposed to be by blueprint. If you get out of the joint, you're pretty much more versatile than the person that's sitting in college, because you're coming out of college with, you know, education that you did upon your own will and that you sucked up here and there from older people in that prison system. Then you came out and got with the people that was already educated, which makes you twofold, which makes you more of a threat. And a person like you and me, we become more of a threat. That's why we are always held back. That's why they're always sticking you with, keeping you that stigma on you as this convicted felon, this person, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And that's why they do us like that.
You're speaking on systemic. You're speaking on big reform, and I like that, man. I like people that think, and you know what? Honestly, I know you don't want to bring up the race thing on that, but honestly, what's good for your people, black people, is good for all people. So when you speak on it like that, you're speaking my language, because I don't look at it as race, but I understand where you're coming from, because to me, it's like what's benefit to you and your people is benefit to all people.
That's the whole DEI argument. You know, what has benefited black people, African Americans, the natives of America, has actually benefited everyone. Women, white women, gays, transgenders, Asians, you know, immigrants. It has benefited a host of different categories, not just different races, you know. So, yeah, you are absolutely right.
Yeah, I like how you guys think. It's definitely a journey, a thought journey, and like, you know, as you were saying also, like, you once you've gone through the other end of the struggle and you have that self-propelled education, you are more of a threat. Like, you're able to, you know, articulate the struggle for all people or one people or whatnot and get in front of the legislator or be a life coach or speak to these communities so powerfully. They don't want to see that.
I'm here to tell you firsthand experience after I got since I've been out for 5 years and the circles I have come across and the people I've came up against. They definitely don't want to see me shine. And what I mean by see me shine, I mean the authentic people that really been through it. You have all these cookie cutter people out here that talk about this criminal justice reform. Somebody talk about this life and talk about what they want to do and what we could do. Let me tell you a quick story. So they tell me, they send an email out from this organization and say, hey, we're going to meet down in Madison, Wisconsin, because we want to rally because they've been putting the men in the shoe. In the special housing, they're putting them in the hole. They've been treating them wrong. They've been, you know, violating their rights and, you know, feeding them on these men down there striking. And, you know, we're going to go down there and rally and call out the politicians and things of that nature. You know, Charles, we need Life Coach CW, we need you to be there. So I'm like, okay, shoes, cool. That's what I'm about. I tell the queen, like, cool, we'll be there. Now, imagine you have to take off work. You know, this place is far. This is like 3 hours away from us. We have to take off work, all type of stuff to go to this rally. So we take off work. We go all the way down to this rally. We get there. It's people. There's a lot of people there at the state of state capital in Wisconsin. We get there. Hey, it's people out there. It's a lot of people. But I called the people that told me to meet them there or they was going to be there. I called them up, like, the organization. I'm like, where y'all at? What's going on? They emailed me back. They text me back. Oh, we not there. What you mean y'all not there? Oh, we couldn't make it because they named down a host of reasons
why.
They just shared the email for whoever wanted to make it, but they wasn't really coming. The organization, people that are supposed to be fighting for this, they not there. They not going down there to stand for the people and fight out in the cold and march and go talk to these politicians, things of that nature, talk to representatives, things of that nature. But I went down there. You know, I went down there. I wasn't representing this organization, but the organization asked me to come out. I went down there and did it. You know, I went down there, spoke and everything, did what I was supposed to do. Did what I thought to be real and true, but what I come to understand is that these people just be talking that talk. They don't know about the real struggle. Mm-hmm. They don't know about men sitting in there really going through it. They just out here getting this grant money. Running this non-profit game. But me, I come out here like I just live that. You ain't about to be joking and playing on the backs of the struggle of the men that's struggling in these type of situations. Y'all out here getting this money, but y'all not using this money for the right causes and for the people. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get into the prison, talk to the men. I'm trying to get into prison and implement these transformational classes that we have, programs that we have put together. But that's not what they on. So when I come like that, they like, well, it's the real deal. He's trying to change for real. But they don't want change even out here. Mm-hmm. They just want to stay complacent and just get the money in, get the dollar in, and get paid out here on the backs of the people in prison.
And just have a shiny name.
Have a shiny name.
So their name out there, so their name can be buzzing in certain communities. And their heart is not really in it. Their heart not really for the people.
No, it's like a person working in healthcare. It's like a person working in healthcare but don't like people. What are you working in healthcare for? Don't like people. You know, what are you running for men in prison for? But you ain't really trying to be out here in the cold and march and fight for the men in prison. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you getting this money for? Why is you in this game?
Right.
You know, so I'm insulted by that. It's disrespectful, and then when I talk, how I'm talking, you know, I'm talking like a rebel. I'm talking too aggressive, or you know, I'm on some other type of time. Well, no, man, y'all playing the people, y'all playing the men, y'all. This is a big game here. This is a big game, and if you don't know the game, then people like you that sitting in jail thinking people out here advocating and we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. Man, people out here getting that little grand money going on about their lives. Doing some fake back to school program
once a year,
and then you don't hear from these people no more. Yeah. Then you come home from the joint talking about like Trump, like I'm glad what Trump and Elon doing. We need a dose for the criminal justice system. Y'all need to come in and come and see what they're doing with all this money to the criminal justice system. Cause why in the programs in none of these prisons? Why people is being fed at the lowest? Why is all the money going to? Why is not no high standard programs like you said? Why is no educational program? Why is not no grants in there? What a Pell Grant said. Why all this stuff at? Why people ain't not educating themselves? Why are you sending people back to society with nothing? Why are you sending people back to society with? I came home from the feds with zero, nothing. They ain't give me nothing. After 20 years, they immediately released me. Woke, knocked on my door, told me, Trump, hey, it's time for you to go. You gonna have to be on the front of this prison gate by count time at 4:30, sir. So. And we ain't got nothing for you. Side note, we ain't got no dollars for you, nothing. So you need to call somebody to come get you. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
After 20 years in prison.
Wow, yeah. That's a poignant point, man, because I was speaking to somebody else recently, and they were speaking about, because in Washington, they got a lot of nonprofits and people that are, you know, organizations that are supposed to be fighting for us. But a lot of these organizations, they got like these legislators on the board, right? And so they're like getting in from both sides. Yet we haven't had no meaningful prison reform enacted in this state, none. And there's a bunch of bills in the legislature today, like currently going through the House and the Senate. But if any of these pass, I'll be surprised. And we pray that they do. But to your point, it's like, what are you guys doing with these grant dollars? Like, you guys are grants. You guys got all these millions of dollars. Why are we not seeing on the news about rallies, like, bringing attention to this stuff, the injustices? Yet, me and Linda, we're coming out of our pocket for this podcast.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. I've been coming out of my pocket since I've been home. Yeah. And Quinn's been coming out of our pocket since we've been home. Yeah. On our own dime. We can't get a grant for nothing in the world. Every time we get talking about grants and get, they boo us off the stage. I go and try to even go to the youth to try to get the grant when we go speak to youth. Remember I was trying to do the program with the youth. What was that?
With the
Department of
the juvenile
detention. Yeah, yeah. I tried to install a program with the juvenile detention center.
Wow.
They ran us around the circle. They didn't want to even deal with us. Like we got somebody coming here talk to him. Some regular old little white priest guy coming here talking about nothing.
The church organization.
Yeah, church organization.
But no one with real life experience.
Yeah, a person like me with the real life experience.
Yeah, you
should have been there. Upstage.
Yeah.
You know, they're not
I think
give
the number one thing that they need people like you guys on the front line inside the prison talking to these people
they need people like us. They need people like you as well. They need people like your wife. They need people like us. They don't need people like us, you, me and Queen. They need people like us.
Right,
what you're going to realize, you can't do this. You two just can't do this. Us two can't do this. It's us going to do this. We're going to be able to do this. Us four, the other two you got, whoever you got, the one I got, that's how we start. It don't start with you guys me and Queen, as you see, we telling you the same stories that you already telling me that you've been doing this on your own dime. Hey,
mm-hmm.
We bumping our head, but I mean, of course, we got to keep bumping our head because that's what we do, and it's not, and we think we're not getting anywhere. But it's just we just got to go along, way around. We just got to chisel. We got to do the chisel. We got to sculpture this thing up. We got to go get on the ice and climb up there and do the sculpture, and then come on back down, tell the Queen how it look, and the Queen got to say, okay, I see the nose. You know, I see the eye. Okay, we working, and that's just what it amounts to. You know, the way we going. But when you know, but my thing is, when you know, or when we know, or if I'm here telling you, they out here eating off of you, man. Yeah, they got that grant money. Yeah, they out here eating good. Yeah, they got these organizations set up out here, and yeah, they doing all that. But you ain't gonna see none of that. Ain't nobody finna come in there and with no big great program. Ain't nobody finna come in there and institute no big program neither. So it just is what it is. But what I'm telling you is that I learned the hard way when I got out, because I was, you know, I'm going to get out, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get with this organization, I'm going to get with this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to talk to this person, I'm going to get with these people. You know, you got to get with, and then when you get into the politics, the real politics, talking to senators and House of Representatives and these people, man, it's all a game, man. That's what's sad, that's what hurt, even telling somebody in jail that, man, it's just all a game, man. You got to fight your own way.
I agree. Like, when they're putting these laws on the books in regards to, like, just even putting them on for debate, and then they fail, like they have been for year after year in this state, it's like a form of torture. You know what I mean? Every year, our people in this state are hoping that they pass something to any sentencing enhancements to, you know, expand on second chance laws. Like, I've been in here 20 years, and nobody was even severely hurt in my case, and yet, you know, I've experienced so much in this 20 years that it's like my life is completely different. I'm a completely different person. Yet they don't take any of that into consideration, and that's what's happening across the whole country. It's like we have to have the people that have that lived experience having the grants. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Having the funds. It can't be these politicians that just know how to work the system, create a nonprofit, and then get on the board of it. You know what I mean? They're just about, you know, the perception of prison reform, when in reality, we need the people that actually have that visceral feeling inside themselves like you do and like Queen does, that have experienced the actual hardship and the trauma and the struggle and want to actually prevent others from going through it, you know? I agree, man. Like, why are they not doing more for those lived experience? Why is that?
Because, once again, when you have, it's no different. Versus the gangster and the rapper. You know, if you really got the real gangster here that's in the booth, and then we don't really want the real gangster in the booth, because this is the real gangster. This is the real killer. This is the dude that's really going to bring the goons here. You know, the corporation speak, and these the dudes that's going to really have the goons. This is the dude that's going to knock our head off if these contracts and this money ain't right. You know, he really about their life. But forget him. We don't want the real thing. We want the fake gangster. We just want somebody we can put in the booth, give him what to say, make it sound good, dress it all up. But we don't really want the real smoke that come with it. See, that's the difference. I'm the real smoke. Oh, you the real smoke, because what we the real smoke is, we really live this. You ain't live this. You can't tell me nothing about nothing. You know, you can't be sitting at the table with me talking about these type of things. And they hate to give us the power at that point in time in history. Then they have to give you the power, because if you at the table talking about criminal justice reform and things of that nature, then they have to give you the power, and you have to dictate to them then, or give them the insight on what to do and what the best things to do and the best guidance. And they have to rely on now the criminal. They have to rely on the convict, and they don't want to do that. They don't want to submit like that. So they rebel, and they give you the fake gangster, and they put the fake gangster in the booth. They give you the fake gangster, and the real gangster's over here like, man, I don't under none of that. That's like I'm saying right now. I don't under none of that. You send that fake gangster to me, I ain't trying to hear nothing he got to say to me. I don't want to hear nothing. And if he get on TV or social media, anything, I'm going to blast him off the stage every chance he gets, because I know he's a fake. That's just what it is. And I got to live in that, because that's my walk and that's my journey. And that's what they don't like. They don't like the realness of it. They don't like the brute realness of it. They don't want that. Because if you real, then you not patrolled. If you real, then if you like we're talking right now, if NBC, ABC, CBS put a microphone in my face like this and put me on the news, they're going to try to control what I say versus the cookie cutter or the fake gangster. He know what to say already. Mm-hmm. He got the script, you know.
And the real is going to implement the real change.
Because it's not the status quo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's 100% right. Because there's a lady right here in this state. Her name is Tara Simmons. She did years in prison, and this lady is pushing more things that are, you know what I mean? Like, she's the one that's sponsoring all these prison reform things. She's pushing the line, right? But, you know, I mean, you got all these other politicians that are on these boards for prison reform or criminal, and yet they're not pushing none of the, I don't want to help pass that bill because of this. Or they can find all kinds of reasons not to, you know, support bills. But the one that has actually experienced it, like you said, the one that's not a fake prisoner, that's the one that's going to actually, that's actually trying to push it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah,
So that's why we're behind the eight ball, because. And I'm glad, you know, to some extent, I am glad, and I don't like to get political on these social media things, because they be wanting to try to oppress your content when you get talking politics, to some extent. But I want to say that DOGE is good. The audit that the United States President Donald Trump is having done through Elon Musk to audit the government. That is good, because that's what we need. I don't know if you know or your wife is familiar that he's been talking about. He's been putting the pause on all that grant money, all this grant money. He want to know where all this grant money going and who getting this grant money. So they've been putting the pause on all this grant money that's just been getting funneled out here to these people with all these fake companies and organizations, all this old type of stuff. So they are tracking this up now, and it's on the table. So a lot of stuff going to change. And as I tell a lot of people, a lot of stuff been changed. All it's about right now is you study doing the work, you study putting forth your best, and you study how you got your foundation. Hey, defund DOC. Hey, however y'all got y'all set up going as far as your foundation. Hey, you stay in the know of these grants and what's going on, and they're gonna be redistributing these grants to people who these grants need to go to. I say that because of the person President Trump put in as the pardon czar, Alice Marie Johnson, who was pardoned back in, I want to say 2019.
Yeah, I love that he did that.
Yeah, the grandmama who was getting money selling drugs, you know, keep the lights on. And he pardoned her back then. Now he made her his pardon czar. So Del Sol saying, now that's a real person we're talking about. She lived this. She know what it's about. She feels you.
Yeah.
You know, go to her, you know, and she can feel your pain. You know. So when you start putting people like that in play, then we don't need DEI no more. We don't need that, because now we got the real people in position. We ain't got these fakes. We ain't got these phonies. We got the people that's going to lay it down. They won't change for real. And that's what we're seeking to get to. So, but if you ain't got your organization together, if you ain't doing that in prison, or if I ain't doing that out here in these streets, for you to call home and talk to me, or if I have this type of platform right here, then we still don't get off the ground. So these platforms are good. We are in a good situation. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad that you all have set a foundation and building on that, as well as us. And we got to continue to connect. And who you know,
yeah.
You know, hey, I'm trying to get Life Coach out here to speak, you know, on behalf of Defund, on behalf of whoever, you know, we trying to set it up. And that's how we begin to connect and build these bridges.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I appreciate that because, you know, that's the number one thing that we want to do is create allies. I want to have allies across. I want to create coalitions. Like, I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I want to build bridges with people, you know? And I like what you say. Like, you know, you're lived experience. I can't wait to see you, like, where you're going to go in your life, you know what I mean? Both of you guys are really on the front line, you know, and you're showing, whether you're broadcasting it in high def or not, you're showing that, man, you can be incarcerated, you can make bad decisions and still, you know, turn your life around and be a productive member of society, and you know, that's a thing, man. They love to stigmatize us. And, you know, it's awesome that what you're doing, you know.
What message do you hope to convey to those who are currently incarcerated and seeking a path toward personal growth and transformation?
First and foremost, I'm going to always say, as I started off, no matter what, first and foremost, we're going to start with acknowledging the Most High, acknowledging something higher than you, acknowledging something, awakening something within you, you know, awakening your higher essence, you know, seeking the best, give your best. I'm going to always acknowledge it for anybody that's in somewhere that's set away somewhere and able to allow themselves to get in tune with themselves and learn about themselves and learn about God and begin to pray, meditate, and get on that path first and foremost. And then once we get that situated, and then we go ahead, like I said, you can't get your money right until you got your mind right. You can't get no money right until you get your mind right. So then you start working on getting your mind right. So if you got a foundation of God, then you're building on love, you're building on truth, you're building on peace, you're building on freedom, you're building on justice. And when you're inside, that's what you implement to the men around you. You let the men around you know, man, no matter what you're going through, I don't care if you got a life sentence, I don't care what you got. Hey, if you woke up this morning, you were able to give me, you were able to move me forward. We able to move each other forward. You know, and if you're going to be here for a long time, then whatever knowledge you have, you always seeking to pass that on to the next person and seeking for them to live through you by some means. But as I say, hey, Malcolm X did 10 years. Hey, we have greats that have been done enormous amount of times, from Mr. Larry Hoover to Nelson Mandela, who did 29 years. So when you can point to these figures that have done prison time and have returned back to society and been etched in history as national or international figures, and then etched in history as some of the greats, man, you can't tell me that ain't anything not possible.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. We appreciate you guys so much with your help.
Oh, no problem.
We definitely appreciate y'all as well, man. Like I say, hey, I hope to stay in tune. Like I said, we're on all social media platforms as well. We always seeking to put out content daily as much as possible. I encourage you all to do the same. And y'all want to reach, and whenever y'all want to set it up again or a topic.
Thank you guys so much.
Start the long and forgotten, through a way to keep gone and forgotten. They forgot about me. Long and forgotten, through a way to keep gone and forgotten. If I'm DOC.
If I was you, I'd be asking for a refund. Everything they do for DOC, they need to defund. Lazy guards, double cells, everything in here is hell. You ever been to the county jail, praying that you get some mail? Then you hit receiving all the stories, can't believe them. I thank God that I'm alive, I thank God that I'm still breathing. After COVID, wearing masks, everyone's sad. How did a virus know a budget? It really makes me laugh. We had good times, bad times, but still it made us strong. It was hard to be accountable, I had to right my wrongs. But now I'm long and forgotten, they forgot about